and always streaming on the Civic Media.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Cammy McCormick. Early voting started in Georgia today, and there was a big turnout. Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger.
It looks like this is going to be a record breaker for the first day of early voting.
Correspondent Nancy Cordes is on the campaign trail.
Former President Donald Trump is holding back-to-back events in Georgia this evening, a state he lost by fewer than 12,000 votes in 2020. Trump also sat for questions Tuesday with Bloomberg and the Economic Club of Chicago, where he was asked if he has spoken to Russian President Vladimir Putin since leaving the White House.
I don't comment on that, but I will tell you that if I did, it's a smart thing.
Vice President Kamala Harris campaigned in Detroit, continuing her outreach to black voters, particularly men, and meeting with black business owners.
The secretaries of state and defense have written their Israeli counterparts warning arms shipments could be delayed for legal reasons if Israel doesn't do more to improve the humanitarian situation in Gaza. The National Security Council's John Kirby.
When we take the step of talking to our Israeli counterparts, orally or in writing, about this, there's obviously a deep sense of urgency about it.
The Biden administration has warned Israel it must increase the amount of humanitarian aid it is allowing into Gaza within the next 30 days. There are more questions about why more wasn't done to prevent a deadly listeria outbreak connected to a boar's head plant in Virginia. Matt Piper has that.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture's internal watchdog has opened an investigation into the agency's handling of violations at a boar's head plant that led to a multi-state listeria outbreak. That from Senator Richard Blumenthal.
Year after year, the United States Department of Agriculture found serious violations at that plant and did virtually nothing.
The boar's head outbreak, which has led to the deaths of at least 10 people, happened after USDA inspectors turned up dozens of violations at the company's plant in Virginia. They included mold, mildew, and insects reportedly found throughout. Matt Piper, CBS News.
Walgreens is shutting 1,200 stores nationwide. Matt Bigler has been talking to shoppers in Fremont, California.
Customers at this Walgreens were surprised to hear the drugstore chain is closing hundreds of stores nationwide.
I hope this store don't close, though.
Nikki says she's mostly worried about senior citizens living in drugstore deserts.
I think it'll be an inconvenience, especially for the older generation.
Walgreens has not announced which stores will be among the 1,200 locations closing by 2027.
The pandas have arrived at the National Zoo.
Welcome, pandas!
The two pandas arrived in Washington from China today. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Ballots can't be processed before Election Day in Wisconsin. Voter advocates say that this could make Wisconsin vulnerable to lies and conspiracy theories about the results.
Due to that policy or lack thereof in Wisconsin, I think we'll potentially see some delays in the counting of mail ballots and therefore delays in unofficial results in the state this year.
Brian Hinkle is with the Movement Advancement Project. A bill to legalize early ballot processing died for lack of action in the state Senate this year. Thousands of chickens in western Wisconsin have been left homeless after the company Pure Prairie Poultry abandoned its Wisconsin farms. There are still 30,000 chickens who used to belong to the company's flocks being given away by volunteers with Pips and Chicks. Local farms giving away chickens can be found on the Pips and Chicks Facebook page. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear areas of frost tonight, low upper 20s. Sunshine returns tomorrow, a little warmer, high in the upper 50s. For Thursday and Friday, sunshine continues along with the warming trend. Breezy, high mid-60s Thursday, upper 60s Friday. Currently, it's 44 degrees.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up at 10:30, Lou Ann Bird running in the 61st Assembly will be joining us. Dr. Laura Hanks with public service announcement in hour number two. And this shouldn't be a thing. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Locally grown radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
On the Badger Sports Network from Learfield, this is the Wisconsin Hockey Hour.
Comes in left wing. What's he going to do? He shoots and he scores!
Now, here's your host, the voice of Badger Hockey, Brian Posick.
Good evening, hockey fans, and welcome to the Wisconsin Hockey Hour. I'm Brian Posick. The Badger men's hockey team opened the season last weekend at the Kohl Center, facing a much-improved Lindenwood squad. And the Lions prevailed on Friday 4-2 before the Badgers rallied for a 3-2 overtime victory on Saturday. The Badgers outshot the Lions 81-36 on the weekend, but unable to put the puck past their goaltender Owen Bartoszkiewicz enough on Friday. And then down 2-0 late in the second period, the Badgers rallied Quinn Finley with a couple of goals. And then the game winner to Daniel Lotch, William Grama, the sophomore goaltender, made some fine saves, including three on breakaways to allow the Badgers to get that series split. And now it's Big Ten season as the Ohio State Buckeyes come to town this weekend. Head coach Mike Hastings joining us now. And Mike, you know, from a positive side of things, again, you outshot Lindenwood 81-36. If you're giving up 36 shots on goal in two games in a weekend, I think you'd take that every time, right?
Yeah. You know what? We, I think, decent defensively, didn't give up a lot. Obviously didn't score enough. And again, settling for maybe some shots, but not the high quality that you're looking for in second and thirds. You know, we're a work in progress. We've focused on the things that we've already discussed here early in our week, and I like the progression that we've had so far.
Yeah, what are some of the things you're focusing on?
Well, just that. You know what? One, our goaltending and just cleaning up a little bit of where we're putting pucks. We had a couple of bad rebounds that I think we could have put in different areas that weren't as threatening for second and thirds. And then just, you know, trying to get to a point of playing with the puck and holding on to it and possessing it. And then just not getting rid of it. There's a lot of teams in college hockey right now that are going to defend from the guts out. Almost everybody does. And so playing a little bit more inside so that when we get our second and thirds, we're closer to the hole instead of being outside. And then, you know, we had an inordinate amount of shots that were blocked, even though we had that amount of shots at the net. I think we've got to find a way to create a little bit more offense and relax when we get it as far as being able to get our heads up and make a play.
Yeah, a couple of points to emphasize there. Faceoffs, you win 67% of faceoffs, which gives you puck possession. But then once you have it, take care of it, right?
That and create offense off of that, right? Be really aggressive. One time during play that teams are out of structure, it's off of faceoffs, you know, and so having an attack mentality off of faceoff, our goal is to try and score a goal, a faceoff goal every game. It's part of creating offense. And so that's something that we'll focus on this week also at trying to attack immediately once we get a faceoff win. Because as you said, we had some guys that did a really good job off the dish.
Yeah. And then Lindenwood blocked 44 shots and kudos to them. There are ways to avoid getting your shot blocked. Sometimes you can't. It happens. It's just somebody's going to get in the way on a long-range shot. But there are things that players work on every day in practice, head and shoulder fakes, stepping one way or another to try to get passing and shooting lanes. You work on that all the time.
Yeah, and that's something we'll just continue to progress. And I didn't think – I thought frustration set in a little bit because there wasn't a lot of success with the shots to the net. And then when pucks were getting blocked by the defenders, I thought we gave into that a bit. And so we've got to learn to have a little bit more grit there at one, trying to hone the skill a little bit better. And then two, that if it happens, just you reset and you get right back after it and make sure that that guy's really convicted in taking another one.
Also on the positive side of things, a few Badgers in their debuts played well. Let's start with Gavin Morrissey, who had a goal and two assists this past weekend. And, you know, he's a young man that you can tell he's a playmaker, and he sees the ice well, doesn't he?
Good hockey player, a really good hockey sense. I thought, you know, showed himself very well, played with some poise when he had the puck. You know, well, we've been having some meetings this week and just chatting with our guys. There's a lot of guys that like to play with him. That's when you're talking about a compliment from your peer group when they want to play with you, that says something. And, you know, he's just a guy that comes to the rink every day with a smile on his face, approaches the game like a young pro does. And he's got a lot of detail to what he does in his everyday life, and I think that spills onto the rink.
Yeah, a Clark Cup champion at Fargo in the USHL last year, Gavin Morrissey. How about Rylan Mosley, who had a goal and a couple of points this past weekend? I love the grit he's brought from Michigan Tech.
Yeah, he has. You know, some of the guys that we brought in, and the two that you're including right now, have made immediate impacts. And, you know, I think Rylan had 15 attempted shots. I think he had 12 shots on net. Doesn't turn the puck over very much. He's very responsible with it and is comfortable at 190 pounds plus playing inside the dots. And so I think he's somebody that had a very good debut for us. He's a guy that I think is very demanding of himself. So, you know, I think he wants to be a little bit more offensively productive, but I think that'll come because that's history on his side.
Yeah, Rylan had 18 goals at Michigan Tech last year, first team all-conference. And then another debut, now 18-year-old defenseman, Logan Hensler. He turned 18 yesterday. Boy, you can see his offensive ability, can't you?
Yeah, you know what? We just got done having a video session today and talking about some of the good things that he does. I think he ended up hitting two posts on the weekend. Yeah. You know, and his game is going to grow daily, weekly, monthly. He's got a great processor. He thinks the game very well, very understanding of what it is to be good on the rink. And what I mean by that is when you sit down and you ask him to go through, you know, he watches his clips, I watch his clips, we get together and we discuss it a bit. And he's got a great hockey IQ. Mm-hmm. He understands the game and is a good self-evaluator for just turning 18. That sometimes is really hard to find, but I think that's why he's on a trajectory to be a real good player.
Yeah, projected first-round draft pick next year, Logan Hensler. Saturday, you know, obviously Friday was disappointing, and there was no question about it. Did you like the response your team? I know you fell into a 2-0 hole, but did you like the way your team played Saturday compared to Friday?
We're better, but we've still got to – you've got to have a chip on your shoulder once that happens and come out, and we've talked. You look at the three games that we've played so far, Poe. Yeah. You know, and you look at what goes into a successful 60, 65 minutes. Good starts, trying to play from ahead instead of playing from behind. We've had three straight games where our starts have been a little bit suspect. They haven't been as good as you want them to be. Now, the exhibition game in Omaha, I thought that was a little bit of a stalemate. Not bad for a start on the road.
Yeah.
We've got to take advantage of playing in our own building and get off to good starts. Now, again, Friday's start, I didn't think it was terrible, but it wasn't overwhelming, and that's what we've got to do. We've got to put teams on their heels a little bit when they're playing in our building and in the first 5 minutes of a game, and then get to our game and be able to play with a lead at a specific time, and we haven't been able to do that yet, so it's something that we've got to address.
Yeah, although you got Lindenwood on their heels late. You know, Quinn Finley scores a big power play goal late in the second period. It's 2-1 going into the intermission. They're on their heels. You had successive power plays, what, 4 or 5 in a row where you're putting pressure on them. You're possessing the puck. You're getting shot. You have traffic in front of the net. And then you get a fortunate bounce, and Finley connects on a baseball swing to tie the game with about 6 minutes left to play. Ryan McDonough did that at the Kohl Center one time, oh boy, 10 years ago. Same spot, same exact spot in front of the student section, two-hand baseball swing, puts it in the back of the net. You don't often see it, and Finley got all of that one too.
Yeah, you know what? Finn's a young, talented player that's continuing to round out his game, and what I find with talented players and guys that are used to scoring goals, when they don't, frustration can set in, and to see him finish the game the way that he did, he made a really nice chip play to get it into a 2-on-1. I thought did a phenomenal job at dropping a shoulder and freezing the goaltender, throwing it over to Morrissey, and we're still trying to get that young player to shoot pucks.
Yeah.
He had a yawning net and tried to go back to Finn, but thank goodness two was beating his guy up the rank, and you know, found a way to win us a hockey game. So we're going to need to continue to push, I think, on our pace and utilizing our ability to skate and try and put people on their heels by playing with that pace.
Daniel Lodge got the game winner in overtime with 18 seconds left. Badgers prevail 3-2, so 1-1 heading into the start of the Big Ten season. Ohio State comes to town this weekend. More with Mike Hastings coming up. This is the Wisconsin Hockey Hour from Learfield.
In the game of life, every moment counts. Every decision matters. And every choice can make a difference between winning and losing.
At Clery, we understand the importance of a strong foundation, whether it's a gym, a community center, or a place for your business to grow. We build your dreams. So whether you're building a foundation or creating a legacy, your vision is our mission. Clery Building Corp, since 1978.
Explore clerybuilding.com today.
Oak Park Place is a proud sponsor of Badger Athletics. While players need peace of mind to succeed in their sport, seniors and their families find peace of mind at Oak Park Place through the right balance of care and independence. Hi, this is Pat Richter for Oak Park Place. Choose a senior living community with neighbors that become like family. Enjoy the comforts of your apartment with an abundance of events just outside your door. Visit oakparkplace.com to learn more. Oak Park Place is a proud sponsor of Badger Athletics.
To be a Badger, it takes dedication, perseverance, and an unstoppable drive for excellence. Our team at UW Health Sports Medicine is no different. We bring the same fierce Badger spirit to every surgery, therapy, and training, working tirelessly to keep Wisconsin's athletes at the top of their game. Whether it's nailing the game-winning shot or delivering top-tier care, UW Madison and UW Health are a dream team committed to achieving greatness. Together, we don't just deliver, we dominate. UW Health. Remarkable.
This is Ford Truck Month, with big offers on trucks that don't subscribe to the word impossible. Like the up-for-anything off-road ready Ranger, the adaptable Maverick, plus F-Series, America's best-selling trucks, featuring Ford F-150 and Ford Super Duty, the 2024 North American Truck of the Year. Built Ford tough trucks that see the impossible as a dare. And this is Ford Truck Month, with offers that make owning one possible. Get to your Wisconsin Ford dealer. Claim 1977 to 2023 CY total sales.
Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison, home of the Big Win and Madison Casino Guru, is transforming guests into winners, making an ordinary day into a big win days easy with a 95% average payout. And with over 140 daily jackpots, the number of people winning has never been bigger. So what are you waiting for? Escape to Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison for your next big win.
Ho-Chunk Gaming.
Are you seeking a better career? Rail Transport offers truck drivers a variety of driving jobs earning top wages. No CDL? No problem. Get paid to get your CDL with Rail's on-the-job paid training program. We're also seeking top talent for driver and customer support positions. To see all the career opportunities at Rail and how you can take home more and be home more, visit rail.jobs. That's rail.jobs. Rail Transport is a proud sponsor of the Badgers.
The top-ranked Wisconsin women's hockey team off to a 6-0 start, just swept third-ranked Minnesota Duluth this past weekend, now heading west to take on now third-ranked Minnesota Friday and Saturday, and we'll hear from head coach Mark Johnson coming up in just a bit. We'll also hear from Badgers sophomore winger Quinn Finley a little bit later in the show. Mike Hastings is with us right now. Badgers getting ready for Ohio State, another two games at the Kohl Center. I tell you, the student section this past weekend was phenomenal. It's October. It's Lindenwood. Nevertheless, they were out in droves, and they were in it both nights, weren't they?
I thought on Saturday, you know, the first night, I think there was, you know, well over 1,000.
Oh yeah. Students. Oh sure.
And to me, they've really put their arms around this program. You look at last year, maybe not early, but as the season went on, they ended up, and again, Finn scores that goal. I thought there was energy in the building. We drew off that. You said, you know, earlier in this conversation that you thought we started to tip the scales a little bit. And I thought there was some energy in the building, and we're going to need them this weekend.
Yeah, no doubt. It's a lot of fun. You know, over 2,000 student tickets were sold. You had the student shootout a couple of weeks ago. That's always a hoot, isn't it?
That was usually a year ago. I think we started at 6:30, yeah, and we were done by about 8:15, 8:30.
Yeah.
And I was still at the rink, and I think I left at about 9:15, and there was still a line. And our guys absolutely loved it, mm-hmm, because one, it allows them to have a little bit of a connection to people that they cross paths with on our campus on a consistent basis. And just to have that, I guess, that family type of atmosphere. Well, hey, you know what? If you guys are playing, we're going to come and watch.
Yeah. I was wondering, you know, the rowing coaches still do to this day. They go through SOAR during registration, and they'll walk the line looking for
guys or gals that are 6'5" or whatever that they can put in the middle of the boat, right? And when you're out at a student shootout, you see some guys, you know, slap one or wrist one and say, oh, he might be pretty good. You know, if we need somebody, what's your phone number, young man, you know?
You know what? Some of the guys, I stuck around a little bit during that time and chatted with some of the students that were coming through. And just for exactly what you were saying, I saw a couple of guys that they'd grab the stick and they'd grab a puck and they'd start heel-toeing it. And I'm like, hey, this isn't your first rodeo, right? And so it is what it is. And we appreciate what they're doing right now because they can make this building a special place.
Yeah, for sure. You know, you were talking, I mentioned that I thought you had Lindenwood on its heels because of the power play, the successive power plays you had. There are pieces there, and we've talked about this. You look at the numbers, 2-for-13, but if you can gain energy from a power play, that will benefit you, and I thought it did. Would you agree?
We did in the second half of the second game.
Yeah.
And again, I thought, as the flip side of that, and we've talked, there is an opportunity to either create energy and positivity or allow frustration to set in if you aren't getting your entries and you're not coming up with pucks and creating offense because of the opportunity on the power play. And for us, I thought we did that. We had good looks. Our attack options, once we went into retrievals, were able to roll it from one side to the other side and re-attack. And we're going to need more of that this weekend because Ohio State's really aggressive in what they do in the zone when they're on the penalty kill. So puck movement is, and then a mentality of getting to the net is something that we're going to have if we're going to be successful in the power play this weekend.
Yeah. More on the Buckeyes here in a moment. Unfortunately, sophomore defenseman Zach Schulz was injured this past weekend. He's going to be out a little while. I know you and I spoke during the offseason, maturation and the improvement of Zach from his freshman year to his sophomore year. It's too bad that this happened, but it's early, so he's going to have time to recover and get back out there.
Yeah, he's a loss. Just because of, and again, you look historically for him and his path here. He's been a leader. He's been a captain on the majority of the teams that he's played. He was a captain of the U18 team with the national program. Went through probably one of the first times in his career, I guess what he would probably consider from his season not being exactly what he wanted to be as a freshman. And he went back to work this summer and just reconfigured his entire body and committed to nutrition, committed to the strength program that Tommy Inkrop put him on, and came in and was really a different player. And it started at the World Junior Showcase. I thought he got some confidence there. Being able to watch that and talking to the guys at the camp on him becoming a legitimate candidate for the World Junior team this year. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't the case a year ago. So kudos to Zach for putting all the work in. But it's a big loss for us and opportunity for somebody else.
Yeah, opportunity for a couple of freshmen. Jack, you were mentioning Zach being a captain in many of his hockey stops. Well, Jack Phelan was the captain in Sioux Falls last year, Detroit Red Wings draft choice, big right-handed defenseman. He's looked pretty good in his two appearances so far for you, hasn't
he? Yeah, and he'll slot right into that spot. And he'll be one of our six, and I think Jack's more than prepared for it. It's why he decided to come here. He wanted to have an opportunity to be in the lineup night in and night out, and he's going to have that opportunity now with Zach being out.
Yeah, and Weston Knox, a freshman who was a captain at Minot in the North American League.
Yeah,
and he's not afraid to get his nose in there or go down to the offensive goal line if he wants, right?
You've noticed that. Yeah, he's got a little bit of that old school junior hockey man in him, and he's not afraid. He's an old soul. He's a guy that brings, I think, some personality and some grit to our lineup, into our locker room. And so, you know, we'll see if he has an opportunity, but he's been working his tail off to have that opportunity, and we'll see what happens this weekend.
All right, the Badgers and the Ohio State Buckeyes. Ohio State last weekend at home, a 3-3 tie and then a 5-2 win against American International. Ohio State a year ago finished last in the Big Ten, picked by elite coaches to finish last again this year. And so what? Right?
Yeah, I don't. And again, I've never really gotten into the preseason prognostications.
Other than you have to vote, but it doesn't, right? Yeah,
exactly. And that's, you do have to. otherwise, I'd opt out. It's for us right now, we're focused on us making and for, you know, really focusing on our progress day to day. And the guys have had a good Monday, and we're going to stack another one up today. And we have an opportunity to play in our own building, starting Big Ten play earlier than than usual. And we want to take advantage of that because we're playing at home.
Yeah, and you don't need me to tell you what happened a year ago. Ohio State beat Wisconsin twice in Columbus and put a little dent in the Badgers' bid for a regular season championship, and then won 2 of 3 in the conference tournament and knocked Wisconsin out of the Big Ten playoffs. So they win, four of the last five meetings against you. What made them so difficult to beat at the end of last year?
Well, I thought we dried up a little bit offensively. We have to be able to play inside against a team that's trying to keep you on the outside. And so for us, I thought they had a couple of high-end players that are no longer there. They've reloaded a little bit. Rawls, always with this being his alma mater, is going to have a little chip on his shoulder coming in. And in our league, you have to earn everything you get. They ended up finishing us off last year. We were able to get to the NCAA tournament. But for us right now, it's about building the blocks that we need to continue to focus on and try and be able to take advantage of being in front of our home crowd again.
Yeah. Steve Rolick has been at Ohio State for 13 years now. Always good to see Rawls, the captain of the 1990 National Championship team, but we wish him nothing but the worst when he comes here to Mets this weekend. Hey, well, thanks a lot for your time, and have a good rest of the week, and go get those Buckeyes.
Thanks, Paul.
All right, sure. That's head coach Mike Hastings. Wisconsin and Ohio State face off on Friday night at 7 o'clock with pregame coverage at 6:30, and then Saturday's game is a 6 o'clock puck drop, and again, 5:30 will be our pregame on the Badger Sports Network and the Varsity Network app. We'll hear from Badger women's hockey coach Mark Johnson coming up in just a bit, but up next, it's sophomore forward Quinn Finley. This is the Wisconsin Hockey Hour from Learfield.
Farmers in Wisconsin have always been ahead of the times, and it's no different in the mid-1800s. George Esterly was running a large wheat farm outside of Whitewater, but reaping his crop by hand was back-breaking work. Esterly invented a mechanical harvesting machine and used it in his own fields in 1844. He then won a Chicago Mechanics Gold Medal 4 years later. But was he the first in the country to build a harvesting machine? The answer is coming up. Esterly followed up his win by opening a factory in the Whitewater area, building the harvesting machines and eventually other farm equipment too. By the 1880s, 500 people worked there. So was Esterly the first in the country to build a new mechanical harvesting machine? Yes. This man's early farm invention lives on as a remarkable slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr. The green and gold tailgating the frozen tundra. Lambeau Field has a legacy all its own, including where to build it. Residents on both sides of Green Bay argued for it. Officials wanted property with room for growth. In the end, 50 acres of farmland was purchased, but the address, Ashwaubenon. More bargaining, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Now, do you know the other reason leaders considered this annexation so important? Parking, beer sales, keeping the Packers in Green Bay? The answer coming up. The Green Bay City Stadium project moved quickly from there, and in less than a year opened with a Packers-Bears game. It became Lambeau Field in 1965 following the death of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau. So did you guess why the land annexation was so important? It's all three, keeping the team in the city, parking, and beer sales. Ashwaubenon was dry at the time. Officials believe Packers fans wanted to be able to buy beer and could in Green Bay. This history makes it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hi, it's Tori DeVito. In every family, small conversations can make a big impact. I grew up on tour with my parents. Kind of different, but we bonded over music just like other families do over sports, camping, or other interests. And we talked. Little everyday conversations from silly to serious that built a foundation over time. Honest conversations, like when my dad shared his experiences as an alcoholic.
Your honesty about that part of your life gave me a sense of integrity that I wanted to uphold in my own life. And I was so grateful that you and Mom had become these sober, stable people who were always there for me.
I wanted you to know from someone who's been in recovery more than 30 years now that hard work is what creates success, not alcohol or other drugs, whether it's music or anything else. I said it a lot, and I'm glad you took it to heart.
Talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Bringing a house of pain.
Backside pressure, down he goes. Inside the 30-yard line.
To a game day near you.
Picked off by Wisconsin, and the Badgers win it.
That's how you create a program. That's how you create a team.
Join us Saturday. The Badgers are back on the road to face Northwestern. Our coverage begins at 9 a.m. on your home for Wisconsin football.
Here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR.
Midday Magazine, talk radio that speaks with you, not at you. Join the conversation 4 to 5 Monday through Friday as we discuss local issues, events, and more. We'll be here interviewing some of your favorite local people. And find the podcast at civicmedia.us. Midday Magazine, a dialogue like no other. Only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
The 12th season of Big Ten hockey begins this weekend here in Madison when Wisconsin entertains Ohio State. Otherwise, non-conference play for Big Ten schools. Sixth-ranked Minnesota plays at Minnesota Duluth. Number 10, Michigan, home against 13th-ranked St. Cloud State. 18th-ranked Notre Dame entertains Alaska. Fourth-ranked Michigan State has an exhibition against Windsor. Penn State has the weekend off. This past weekend, the Badgers split a pair with Lindenwood at the Kohl Center. Big comfort behind win on Saturday when sophomore Quinn Finley scored twice and assisted on the game-winning goal. Had a chance to talk with Quinn after practice yesterday.
Quinn, you had a hand in all three goals this past Saturday against Lindenwood. I'm trying to figure out which one I want to start with. I guess let's start with the first one, the power play goal late in the second period. They're up 2-0. That was a big goal at the time. And your power play hasn't converted a lot early on, but you can see the potential there. Do you see it? Too?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's just something that we're getting better and better every time we go out there. It's something that we're going to have to keep practicing I think it's going to get better and better every week.
Yeah, I think people may lose sight of the fact there are a lot of new guys on this team. There's 12, and there are a lot of new guys on the special teams, too. So that plays a factor, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It's just something that obviously just getting some of the kinks out, and we'll be hopping here pretty soon.
Yeah. So tell us about that goal and how you saw that go in.
Yeah, it was just a little line rush, a good pass from Tass, and I was lucky enough to find its way through the five hole there.
Didn't get a lot on it, but sometimes you don't have to, right?
Right, yeah. Just found its way home there, and it was good to get one there.
All right. So let's talk about the tying goal. A shot from Christian Fitzgerald that goes off of Simon Tassie and goes into midair, and then you swing at it like a baseball player and line drive it into the back of the net. Have you ever scored a goal like that before?
No, I haven't, but credit to Jack Horbach. We were playing with a tennis ball before practice, or before the game, actually. We were just throwing it up and trying to hit it out of the air. So we kind of found that kind of funny, and it was pretty fun.
But really, had you ever done that with Jack before?
No, it was just something where, we were just, I guess, before the game had a little downtime, so we were just kind of just messing around in the locker room, and it was pretty cool to do that, and was lucky enough not to get called high stick. So it was good.
Yeah, actually, last year, I think that may have been waved off. They changed the rule. Now you can play the puck shoulder high, and that still goes in. It still counts. So that's a nice rule change there.
Yeah, absolutely. We're lucky enough that changed.
Yeah. So as the puck's fluttering in midair, did you know you were going to do it, or did you think about letting it land first? What were you thinking?
Well, I just saw, the goalie was kind of, didn't know where it was. And I was, I saw it out of the corner of my eye. The net was kind of, just empty. So I just, kind of. I just took a swing at it. I was like, why not just try this? And yeah, it ended up working out.
Yeah, you got all of it too, didn't you?
Yeah, I got a good piece of wood there on it, so it was good.
Quinn Finley's with us. You played baseball growing up a little bit, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I stopped when I was 13, 14. So it was good to have that in my system.
Yeah. Were you a good hitter?
Not bad. I mean, it wasn't the greatest, but I would say I had fun with it, and it was something that my dad wanted me to play when I was younger, so it was good.
Yeah, I'm thinking you were maybe a center fielder?
A little shortstop, center fielder. Oh. Yeah, so, I stopped when I was probably, 13, 14, but,
Yeah, is there any other sport you play now besides hockey? Is there anything else that kind of, pickleball or tennis or anything like that?
We like playing pickleball in the summer after workouts back home in Green Bay. We do pickleball a lot, but... Other than that, maybe a little pickup basketball here in the spring.
Really?
Once we do that quite a bit, actually. Once the season's over with, we get some of the guys to go out and play on the coal and hoop around a little bit to get a little workout in.
Okay.
Other than that, just kind of play whatever the guys are up to.
Sure. Who's the best basketball player on the team?
Grammy, for sure.
Come on.
Grammy. Oh, my gosh. He's disgusting. He is so good. Yeah, he, like, practices, though. Like, he's, like, puts up shots every week and, like, oh, yeah, he loves to do it.
I didn't know Swedes played basketball.
Neither did I. He loves it, though. He always tells us he always wants to play in the springtime and whenever we can go out and shoot with him. So, yeah, it's fun.
Interesting. Again, Quinn Finley's with us. And then the final goal on Saturday, the overtime goal, a give-and-go with Gavin Morrissey. That return feedback to you was pretty hot to handle, wasn't it?
Yeah, I thought he was going to one-tee that right in the net. But, it was a good play by him. Just missed the connection there a little bit. And then Dan came down the wall and just read the goalie. He wasn't really paying attention. And Dan fired it home for the win.
Yeah, and that was big. Every win is big. But after what happened Friday, to get that W and go, okay, all right, we're all right, right?
Right, absolutely, yeah. I think it was something that I'm sure that just sticking with it, obviously, and we'll be ready this weekend.
Yeah, I would assume you're going to be ready. You've got Ohio State, and I don't need to remind you what happened last year, do I?
Absolutely, no. We actually had a little meeting this morning about it, and I think all the guys are pretty fired up for the weekend, and we're ready to go.
That's sophomore forward Quinn Finley. He and the Badgers getting ready for some payback against the Ohio State Buckeyes this weekend. Stay tuned. The top-ranked Wisconsin women's hockey team travels west to take on arch rival Minnesota. Head coach Mark Johnson's coming up. This is the Wisconsin Hockey Hour from Learfield.
When it comes to women's sports, there's no place like UW. Our women set the standard for elite performance, from the volleyball court to the hockey rink. Every set, spike, and score pushes the boundaries of what's possible. UW Health mirrors this dedication to greatness. Our extraordinary team of doctors combines revolutionary research with compassionate care, setting the benchmark for healthcare across the country. So for the best care and the best athletics, it's easy. UW all the way. UW Health. Remarkable.
With the Badgers, every touchdown is more than just a touchdown. It's a testament to the teamwork, elbow grease, and can-do attitude it takes to make it to the end zone. And while our fields aren't the kind you throw passes on, Case IH knows every successful farm is more than just a farm. It's the product of top-notch tillage, planting, harvesting, hay, and forage equipment at the hands of hardworking growers. Settle the score with superior tools by visiting your local Case IH dealer or go to caseih.com/badgers. On Wisconsin.
Which schools will take home the prestigious Learfield Directors Cup as the top college athletic programs for the 2024-25 college athletics season? You can follow the standings of your favorite team or alma mater at L Directors Cup on Twitter and online at TheDirectorsCup.com. Trophies will be awarded in June 2025 to the winning institutions in all college sports divisions. Learfield Directors Cup, the crowning achievement in college athletics.
Are you seeking a better career? Rail Transport offers truck drivers a variety of driving jobs earning top wages. No CDL? No problem. Get paid to get your CDL with Rail's on-the-job paid training program. We're also seeking top talent for driver and customer support positions. To see all the career opportunities at Rail and how you can take home more and be home more, visit rail.jobs. That's rail.jobs. Rail Transport is a proud sponsor of the Badgers.
Oak Park Place is a proud sponsor of Badger Athletics. While players need peace of mind to succeed in their sport, seniors and their families find peace of mind at Oak Park Place through the right balance of care and independence. Hi, this is Pat Richter for Oak Park Place. Choose a senior living community with neighbors that become like family. Enjoy the comforts of your apartment with an abundance of events just outside your door. Visit oakparkplace.com to learn more. Oak Park Place is a proud sponsor of Badger Athletics.
Have you ever tried to put a roof on your house?
Ouch!
What about trying to run power to your new hot tub? Yep, we've all made that mistake. Hi, I'm Sean Cleary. We have an amazing team of experts that are ready to get to work for you. We use the latest technology to design and manufacture your custom Cleary building, giving you the best value for the building you deserve. Stop in or explore clearybuilding.com today.
Cleary built with pride, the world of Shamrock supplied.
This is the Wisconsin Hockey Hour. Brian Posick with Badger women's hockey coach Mark Johnson. After a weekend sweep against Minnesota Duluth, the top-ranked Badgers beat the third-ranked Bulldogs on Saturday 5-1, and then Sunday 7-3. Wisconsin off to a 6-0 start, 2-0 in the WCHA, and on the road this weekend to take on arch-rival Minnesota. And Mark, first off, congratulations on the sweep against Minnesota Duluth, a team that had swept Ohio State in Columbus and then split on the road against Colgate on Saturday. Laney Parter, a defenseman, had a couple of goals and 3 points. Ava McNaughton was really good, made 33 saves. And then on Sunday, freshman Maggie Scannell had a couple of goals. Cassie Hall and Caroline Harvey each had a goal and 3 points. And Ava made 20 saves in that victory, too. You know, you thought you'd be tested when Duluth came to town with how well they were playing under their new head coach, Laura Shuler. And that certainly was the case, because if you look from the start until midway through or late second period, both games, they were tight.
Yeah, we hadn't experienced that yet in our first four games. And so as we talked about last Monday prior to the series, we were going to get tested, and we got tested. I thought Duluth played a real solid game, Saturday afternoon. They, you know, gave us, I don't know, 35 or so saves. Ava played really well, and when she got tested, she responded in a real positive way, seemed comfortable, and handled the puck really well. But we knew things were going to happen at a quicker pace. And after the first period, when I addressed the team on Saturday, I was like, we need to take our compete level up. You know, we're playing, you know, a top five team now. And so when you play those teams, your competitive level has to increase. And I thought in the second period, we started to really compete and play up to our capabilities.
Yeah, we certainly saw that. Yeah, Saturday it's 2-1. Late second period, Cassie Hall scores to make it 3-1, and then you were able to add a couple of more. And similar on Sunday, it's 1-1 midway through the second, and Maggie Scannell scores from Hannah Halverson. It's a 3-1 game at that point. You add on from there. That's a nice trait to have, is when you get a lead and maybe stretch it a little bit, you can stretch it even more, and you have that with that depth up front, don't you?
It is, and then, you know, your power play becomes a factor. So it's 3-1, we get a power play. Can you extend that to 4-1? We end up scoring, you know, KK scores on a power play goal, and there's a big difference to me between a 2- and a 3-goal lead. And so, you know, the other part of it is we got some depth in scoring. So Maggie came back Sunday and was able to score a couple goals, and you look at the people that are on the score sheet. It's always good to have depth in scoring and continue progressing. But the big thing about the weekend for me as a coach is that you learn about yourself. And we had to play on our own end. We had to kill a 5-minute major, a 5-on-3. And so all things that, you know, you try to practice, but it's not the same as a game setting, that now we've done it in a game, and we continue to build on it. But the big message Sunday was try to control both blue lines. At times we were pretty good, other times. But when you play good teams, there's going to be breakdowns. There's going to be things that you do, and you have to be able to react to them, and then you have to be committed to playing a 200-foot game. It's fun to have the puck and try and go score a goal, but you're not always going to have the puck. So am I willing to do the little things, and am I willing to work hard in our own end? Mm-hmm. And that's what we need to do. We can score some goals, but we need to commit ourselves 100% to protecting Ava and not giving up 35 shots in a game. That's a little high for me.
Yeah, I was going to say, nothing against Lindenwood or Boston College, who you beat in the first two weekends, but Minnesota Duluth, and you'll see it with Minnesota too, and eventually Ohio State, very structured. So your team is playing a structured system, and you can learn when you're playing somebody that knows exactly what they're trying to do. You'll learn from that, won't you?
You really will. And so, like I say, they're as good as any team probably in the country in their own end as far as being structured and making it hard to get pucks to the net. They block shots, and then when you do get pucks through, they've got, you know, two good goaltenders. So it's hard to score. Where in Saturday's game, you know, a lot of our goals came on rushes. So you get into puck in the offensive zone and get the puck to the net as quickly as you can, so they can't get set up. And, you know, we scored some really nice goals Saturday in doing that. And again, against Minnesota, they'll structure you the same way. So if you're going to score goals, once you enter the offensive zone, how quickly can you get the puck to the net will give you the best chances to do that.
Yeah. Mark mentioned that on Saturday, the Badgers give up 34 shots on goal, but Ava McNaughton allowed only one goal. The next night, you allow only 23 shots on goal. What did you do differently defensively?
Well, I think we just got used to the pace and understanding, you know, what their system's like. And so when they dump the puck in, you know, they're coming with two people that are fence are pinching. And when all five people are in the forechecking process, it's hard to break out, especially if you hang on to the puck. You got to make some little chip passes. You got to do things quickly, and you got to communicate with one another because there's not going to be a lot of time and space wherever the puck is going because that next person's coming to try to, you know, create some kind of contact, and then they support it with a second player, and now they've got puck possession. So it's just a matter of getting under fire and then getting some fire extinguishers and putting it out. And again, we can practice, you know, heavy pressure and that things, but, you know, the game's totally different. And, you know, they've got a core group of defensemen that have been around the league. They've got a couple of fifth-year defensemen, and they understand how to pinch and do it really well.
Yeah. Mark Johnson with us here on the Wisconsin Hockey Hour. The Badger women play at Minnesota this weekend. We'll chat about the Gophers coming up in just a bit. You know, we were talking about the depth. You know, generally, in the past, you've been pretty solid with playing three forward lines, but now you can play four and seem very comfortable in doing so. And when you have somebody like Maggie Scannell scoring twice as the fourth line center, I would assume that your decisions might be a little bit more difficult on the bench. Okay, well, I could put anybody out here at any given time.
That's challenging. The other thing I like about the weekend is, you know, for the freshmen that are playing, you know, they got tested against a real good team, and so they scored a big goal for us yesterday afternoon, Maggie's first one, you know, exciting for them, and it just will help with their confidence, you know, getting exposed to, you know, the way Duluth plays and now going up to Minnesota on the road against the top five team. As they experience those games, they just get, you know, better and better because we have things we can work on with them. They won't be intimidated when they go on the ice, and so, yeah, it becomes a problem, and so if the game's setting isn't many penalties either way, you know, I can roll four lines. The problem becomes if all of a sudden, you know, you get some power plays, the other team gets power plays, it takes away from that consistent rotation. So as you mentioned, it's going to be a challenge for us coaches to make sure we get these kids ice time because they deserve it.
Certainly. Before we get to the Gophers, I wanted to bring up a few people. Early next month, actually it's December 4th in Pittsburgh, Brianna Decker will be inducted into the United States Hockey Hall of Fame, the first Wisconsin alum from the women's side to be so honored. We'll talk about Brianna probably next month because that's still a little ways away. But I know last month the UW Athletic Hall of Fame inducted two of your former players, Megan Mickelson, now Megan Reed, and Alex Brigsby, now Alex Cavallini. And you think about Megan Mickelson, she played from 04 to 2007, three-time Olympian, two-time gold medalist, two-time NCAA champion, one of the highest scoring defenders you've ever had. She was quite a player, wasn't she?
She really was. The best thing we did, and she had no hiccups by us doing it, was when we moved her back from forward, and then we moved her to play defense her last 2 years. Her dad was an NHL defenseman. Yeah. Her brother was a high draft pick by Anaheim as a defenseman, and she always thought she was a goal scorer. So her first 2 years, you know, she's trying to keep up with the Knights and the Duggins and all these kids that, you know, were good goal scorers, and she would get frustrated at it. And so, wonderful skater, good puck handler, good size, and so hey, why don't we try it back at D? So she came in her junior year, and she got comfortable real fast, and all of a sudden's on the power play. And as you mentioned, you know, she had 2 great years to end her career here on the defense, was an All-American, won an NCAA championship, and then she goes to Team Canada, you know, 2 gold medals, a silver medal, and now she's in our Hall of Fame, and it's well-earned.
Yeah, and you can say the same about Alex Rigsby, who was a 2-time Olympian, a gold medalist in 2018, 2-time All-American, backstopped your club to the 2011 National Championship, the all-time winningest goaltender in Wisconsin women's hockey history. You've had some good ones, and Alex, at least statistically, is right on top of that list, and one of the sweetest people you're going to meet.
Absolutely. I mean, and as you mentioned that, yeah, we've had a lot of good goaltenders, and that's probably one of the reasons we've won a lot of games here. We've had good goaltending, and Alex is right at the top of that group of players, and so to get her recognized for what she did here, happy for her, happy for her family, and it's a well-earned honor.
Yeah. All right, so Wisconsin goes to Minnesota to play the Gophers, top-ranked Badgers and a top-five Gophers squad, Friday at 6 o'clock, Saturday at 3 o'clock, both games on the radio in Madison on 1070 WTSO and the iHeart Radio app. Saturday Saturday's game will be televised by the Big Ten Network, too, which is kind of neat. You like that, don't you?
I like that. Good exposure, and it'll end up, I'm sure it's going to be a great game, so yeah. The people that get a chance to be at Ritter are going to enjoy that, but more importantly, people that won't have an opportunity all around the country will be able to watch it on TV. They'll get treated to some real good hockey.
Yeah, I don't think you need any more help recruiting, but it's always nice to get some national exposure. Gophers are 4-1-1. They swept a series at UConn. They also swept Boston University at home, and then they played at Ohio State this past weekend, lost 4-3, and then a 1-1 tie. Buckeyes won in a six-round shootout. You know, anytime Minnesota plays Ohio State or Duluth or Wisconsin plays Minnesota or Duluth or Ohio State, you expect battles. This is going to be the same, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, history shows, you know, and I've been doing now 20-plus years, most of the games are tight, overtime, shootouts, whether it's the first two games of the season or whether it's an NCAA quarterfinal game or a championship game in the NCAA, they got a bunch of good players, well-coached, and obviously I watched part of their game Friday night down at Ohio, very physical game. Yeah. And so, you know, we're a little seasoned now because Duluth was physical, and, you know, we have to clean some things up, go up there, and, again, if you can own the blue lines and stay out of the penalty box, that's probably going to give you the rest – best recipe to win a hockey game. And that's what we'll focus on tomorrow as we practice, and then Wednesday and travel up there and get ourselves an opportunity to skate up at Ritter.
Yeah, and one young lady you have to be mindful of is Abby Murphy, who is a fantastic player, an Olympian in her own right, an agitator as well. You were saying stay out of the penalty box. She might try to bait you into a few things. You just got to pull back and don't get engaged, right?
Yeah, you have to be focused on what we need to do to win, and you know, that extra stuff, whether it's after the whistle or something happens within the game, it's just stay away from it. And again, when you're on the road, you have to stay out of the penalty box, and generally we've been able to do a good job of that. And then it's again getting everybody comfortable with what we want to do, and then go out and execute that. And so it's exciting because you know, we'll have two good games up there, and that'll give us four good games against really good opponents, and then, you know, we can continue the process of trying to get better, because every game's going to present something where, as a coach, you're like, okay, we need to do that better. It might be a face-off situation. It might be a penalty kill that, you know, we learned something against Duluth. You know, they scored a nice power play goal in the second period. You know, we had a breakdown, and so it's, again, you can show a film and say, hey, you don't need to do this. Let this player do this, and you learn from it. So when we get in the third period against Duluth, it's all of a sudden now the same setup. Yeah. We were able to kill it off and doing things and letting each other do their own jobs and not to try to do everybody's job and run around the ice, because when you play against a good power play, you have to be disciplined, you have to have good sticks, and you got to block shots.
All right. Again, Wisconsin and Minnesota, Friday at 6, Saturday at 3 o'clock. We wish Mark Johnson and the Badgers all the best. They'll be back at Le Bon Arena Thursday and Friday series against Bemidji State, October 24th and 25th. Stay tuned. We'll wrap up this edition of the Wisconsin Hockey Hour in a moment from Learfield.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Having low income can mean making tough choices, choosing between paying for food or medication,
where a place to live is a reality for many people. Do you know someone who could use some extra help? Find out about the Supplemental Security Income Program, SSI, administered by Social Security. You could receive monthly SSI payments if your income and financial resources are low and you are 65 or older, or an adult or child with a disability or who is blind. SSI is money you can use to help pay for basic needs, like putting food on the table, keeping the lights on, paying the rent. It can mean new shoes for growing feet or help with medical needs. Call 1-800-772-1213 or visit ssa.gov/SSI to schedule an appointment or start to apply today. That's ssa.gov/SSI. This message produced by Social Security at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
The National Hockey League season started last week, and 12 former Badgers were on opening day rosters. Ryan Suter and Dylan Holloway with the St. Louis Blues, Craig Smith with the Chicago Blackhawks, Brendan Smith with the Dallas Stars, Ty Emberson with the Edmonton Oilers, Alex Turcotte with the LA Kings, Keandre Miller with the New York Giants, with the Boston Bruins, Trent Frederick, San Jose Sharks, Luke Cunningham, Tampa Bay Lightning, Ryan McDonough back, and in Toronto, Jake McCabe, plus Cole Caulfield with the Montreal Canadiens. Caulfield already has 4 goals in 4 games for the Habs this season. A lot of good things to come for the Wisconsin men's hockey team. Again, the Big Ten season opens this weekend at the Kohl Center against Ohio State. And then after that, next weekend, the Badgers head west to take on top-ranked and defending national champion Denver Friday the 25th at 8 p.m. Central Time, Saturday the 26th at 7 o'clock, and then the Badgers back on the road November 1st and 2nd to play Notre Dame before returning to the Kohl Center for the Border Battle against Minnesota November 8th and 9th. Get your tickets at uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. Wisconsin also has home series at the end of November with Alaska Anchorage, early December with Michigan State, and then after closing out the first half with 2 games at Michigan, the Badgers take 2 weeks off before hosting the Quick Trip Holiday Face-Off at Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee. This year, Ferris State, Connecticut, and Alaska will make up the field in Milwaukee. The Badgers open against Ferris State on December 28th, and then either UConn or Alaska on the 29th. And then after the Quick Trip Holiday Face-Off, it's off to Lansing to take on Michigan State January 2nd before the Badgers meet the Spartans in the frozen confines at Wrigley Field on Saturday, January 4th at 8 p.m. Tickets are available. You can get them by going to Cubs.com/Big Ten Hockey. Again, watch the Badgers play Michigan State at Wrigley Field. Go to Cubs.com/Big Ten Hockey for tickets to that January 4th matchup. Also, as far as the Quick Trip Holiday Face-Off, if you want tickets for that, and the event has been fantastic the first several years, go to Ticketmaster.com for tickets to those games at Fiserv Forum. Well, the Wisconsin women, ranked number one in the country, visit third-ranked Minnesota this weekend, Friday night, 6 o'clock, face-off Saturday at 3 o'clock. Both games on the radio in Madison on 1070 WTSO, Saturday's game on the Big Ten Network. And the Wisconsin men's hockey team hosts Ohio State Friday night at 7, Saturday at 6 on many of these same stations. We'll be on the air Friday at 6:30. My thanks to Dave McCann, Mike Hastings, and Mark Johnson. I'm Brian Posick. Thanks for listening to the Wisconsin Hockey Hour from Learfield.
You've been listening to the Wisconsin Hockey Hour. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Badger Sports Network.
Hi,
This is Beth, your new host for The Kitchen is Open, the award-winning show within the morning show. Each Monday morning at 9 a.m., we'll tackle topics, teach techniques, and tell you what to do or not to do when it comes to cooking or the kitchen. I'll also bring you interviews with local chefs and restaurant owners with insight on what it takes to make it in the food industry. Listen as I work with James, Seth, and others as we learn, laugh, and have fun. The Kitchen is Open. Same kitchen, new host.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.